CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
This time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at global events through a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you've got a question, you've been reading your Bible as well, come across something you don't understand, give us a call. We got some lines open, 888-ASK-CSN. Now, real quick, if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii, and you're in the Kona area, or for that matter, any part of the island, I'll be speaking at Kona Coast Fellowship this Sunday morning, right there off Aaliyah Drive, right in front of the Kona Cafe, and right out on the beach. And again, what a glorious sanctuary being on the beach is, seeing God's creation. We're going to be looking at an end times prophecy update. What does the Bible say about the last days? You know, Jesus said, henceforth, I'll no longer call you servants. I'm going to call you friends, because a servant does not know what his master's doing. Could the Bible be so exact to zero in on our generation to tell us what's going on? The answer is absolutely yes. Unique to our generation, we find a interesting phenomenon, Jerusalem being under Jewish control. That happened in 1967, the Temple Mount. And it had not been under Jewish control for 2,800 years before that. It went under the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Grecian Empire. Then it went under, and I should say the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And it did not return back into the hands of the Jews till 1967 in the Six-Day War. You say, well, why is that so monumentous? Because Jesus said Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Friends, what an incredible statement. What a time marker. This isn't Edward Casey stuff. This isn't, you know, some magician stuff. This tells you by name what to watch for. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, this generation will not pass away till all things concerning Israel would be fulfilled. Friends, we're in exciting times right now. We see it globally. You may see it in your own personal life. And that's why I'd like to invite you to church this Sunday morning, Kona, Hawaii, there on the beach, right off Aaliyah Drive downtown, and you'll see the sign out there, Kona Coast Fellowship, and you walk right next to the Kona Cafe, which is right next there. You'll see it. You know, there's a little breezeway, and we're going to have a good time. Starts at 10 o'clock, so I'd love to see you there. I think you'll really have a great time. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that we have here in the Weekend Times, Brad Dacus from PacificJusticeInstitute.org, PJI.org, representing people like you and me against unfair laws. Brad, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
And it's always a blessing to have you. And you know, it's interesting. With some of the pardons that have come from Trump, it's interesting that he's pardoning a lot of the people that stood up against the Planned Parenthood abortion mills. And it has been such a one-sided thing. In other words, they can go protest in front of a church, nothing happens. But if you go on a public sidewalk and say, hey, don't kill your baby, abortion stops a human heart, oh, well, you're arrested and whisked off to jail. Tell us about some of the problems there.
Yeah, the Biden administration just ruthlessly and unjustly used the FACE Act to just focus for it to become a witch hunt against pro-life Christian counselors, demonstrators, all peaceful, all abiding. But if they, step foot on the property instead of being, prosecuted for trespass and, a slap on the hand, he was using the FACE Act to put these peaceful, civil, loving demonstrators behind bars for up to 11 years under the FACE Act. It was hideous. It was evil. It was hate-filled. And we at Pacific Justice Institute were defending through our attorney, David Peters, who heads up our office there in Michigan, a man who was a pastor. And he has been, faithful to the Lord. And he was with a group of pro-life people there outside an abortion clinic. But since he was on the grounds of the abortion clinic, they arrested him, thought, okay, he's going to get a slap on the hand. But no, it turned out to be a full-blown prosecution under the FACE Act. He was facing up to 11 years behind bars. Other people had already been convicted, already put behind bars. And we were going to take this all the way to the mat. Well, President Trump announced a pardon for more than 20 of these individuals that had been targeted ruthlessly by the Biden and his administration and the Department of Justice. So we're really pleased about this. Our client is now a free man, and we're really pleased about this. There was so much tyranny over the last 4 years against whether parents at school board meetings, pro-life counselors, ministers, preachers. We're just very pleased to see things moving in the right direction. And, of course, our client is really happy. He's going to be reunited with his wife and his three boys.
Wonderful. And, again, when we, understand that any political party, I don't care who they are, tries to separate children from the parents. In other words, no more parental rights. Your children are a ward of the state and will be treated as state property. And if a four-year-old little girl wants to have a sex change, well, then that will overrule anything that the parents say. Hey, friends, that's the way it is in California. And we got to be real careful of that. You know, Brad, I don't know exactly all that the law, that might be a, is that an exaggeration or is that pretty much the way it is?
Oh, it's very much the way it is. We have had cases where we've had to go into court to prevent children from having their body parts cut off masochistically, injected with hormones. This is no exaggeration. These are real cases, real people, real places, San Diego County, Orange County, Placer County, California. And it's now the policy of Governor Gavin Newsom to do just that. If parents, if they have a child with gender confusion, and if those parents are not willing to play along with it and encourage the confusion, which leads to suicide, 1,200% increased risk of suicide, then those parents will have that child taken from them. The state, the government will become the parent, if you will, and then will start the procedure even before they turn 18. That's what we've had to intervene on. It's a very evil system we have in California, and this governor has just been ruthless with regards to pushing his agenda and persecuting people of faith and parents of faith.
It's absolutely amazing that American citizens would stand for this. For some reason, Brad, I don't know, but I'm a simple guy. I don't understand how people would actually vote for people that favor chopping up your children. And that your children, they're 5 years old. I think I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. And they're really not. That weighs more than the parental guidance. And when we really stop to look at it, I use this illustration, a five-year-old kid would eat hot fudge sundaes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They don't know what's best for them. And of course, there's a lot of confusion when we grow up. And the educational system in California encourages that confusion. And so I really believe that as, again, the dumbing down of America, I think it's been a complete success when you look at the stuff that goes on in California, why anybody would allow that. Because, again, education 75 years ago was how to think. Logically looking at things, I can put it together. That's not what education is now, friends. It's what to think. The Gestapo will tell you what to think in your schools. It isn't how to think. It's what to think. And there's a vast difference between those two understandings and those two types of education. So understanding what this is, where it goes on. And again, when a four-year-old kid says, I think I'm really a boy, or I think I'm really a girl, when again, they'd eat hot fudge sundaes morning, noon, and night. And that child's thoughts weigh more than the parent's guidance. Friends, we have, much to do. We need to be people of prayer. And so we want to do that. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. If you got a question, you got something that you've come across, please call us. We got some lines open. Let's go to Sherry in Kenai, Alaska. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for your show. Great topics. Lots of prayer needed for our nation.
Amen.
My question today has to do with we as people wanting to know Christ, wanting to know the Father God more. I simply ask because there are many places in the Bible where we're shown that God has white hair, where we see his character come through, but not about his history. And in the Book of Solomon, Solomon himself, being very wise, never said, you know, I have an insight on where God came from. He's from the Anunnaki tribe, and the Egyptians all knew this, and here are these ancient writings. And so that's the course that I personally don't dive through, but with co-parenting, the other person has. And I want to honor the other person as the father of my children, but I also, as a Christian, need a little bit more guidance on this matter. Could you speak into that?
Well, yeah, anything outside of the Bible that's describing to us what God is false. That's what the Bible says. And so you can immediately discount those things. You know, people have always been pantheistic in their ideals. Even atheists are pantheistic. Now you say, well, wait a minute, that's an oxymoron. No, not really. Everybody believes something. Everybody believes in something. If you reject God, you reject creation in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. When you reject that, then how did we all get here? Well, I believe we evolved. Oh, well, then you really do have something that you look to higher than your authority to give you guidance. Because again, if you believed you're an evolved monkey, well, here's the problem. You're going to act like one. And we find that all over. And it doesn't matter whether there's no facts for evolution. Again, there's no transitory life forms. In other words, a horse turning into a giraffe. There are no transitional life forms, a cat turning into a dog, not in the fossil records anywhere on Earth, nor living as well. And as a matter of fact, Charles Darwin said this was the greatest problem to his entire theory, is there was no historical records for anything that he believed concerning evolution. So when we look at that, we find a lot of different ideas, theories, how we got here, where we're going, our purpose on life. All these things reflect basically on our view of God or our view of why we're here. Now, again, if you believe you're a cosmic accident, lightning hit a swamp, bunch of squiggly things, they got bigger, they grew fins, grew some legs, crawled out on the land, stood upright, and here we all are. It's harder for me to believe that than it is that we were created. And so when we go into the God of the Bible, the creator of all things, we become very, very clear of who God is. Now, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying there in the Gospels that he's the express image of his Father in heaven. People, ever since the beginning of time, wanted to know what God is like. Where did God come from? And the Bible says that Jesus stepped out of eternity into time and walked with man he created. Incredible. For the first time in the history of the world, man could actually see what God was really like by looking at Jesus Christ. Now, see, again, going back to Genesis, God would come and walk with man in the cool of the evening. But that fellowship was broken when man ate of the tree, rebelled against God. Jesus restored that fellowship back. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah. As far as getting back to the importance of, as our reference point of truth, it's so easy for people to get pulled away by the latest philosophy or scientific theory, if you will, and very quick to not even try to reconcile it with the scripture, to test it with scripture. And I think that it's, I think a good policy, you know, people have said, Brad, you know, how narrow are you in your thinking? How narrow-minded are you in your thinking? And I said, well, it just depends on how thick your Bible is. That's how narrow I am right there. That's it right there. So everything that I believe, it has to meet the biblical test. And if someone can make an argument and say, let me show you in scripture why I think this is correct or that is correct, I'll listen. But if at the end of the day, it cannot in any way be reconciled with scripture, then it's very clear where we need to stand. God's word has proven faithful. More than 2/3 of the prophecy of this book, the Bible, it's already been fulfilled. It's already come to pass. And it just as Pastor Mike mentioned about, you know, some of the prophecy that we've seen, it's not sort of hocus pocus. It's very explicit. It's very clear. And we've seen prophecy come to be fulfilled with Israel once again become back to as a nation, which was almost unthinkable. And yet we see so much taking place. I just want everyone to always be encouraged to do that. It's easy to let our own pride also keep us from going back to the word, saying, well, I'm a higher way of thinking. I'm smarter. That's foolishness to God when we allow that to keep us from the truth and that God's given us in his word so clearly.
Isaiah 44:9 says, I am God alone, and besides me, there is no other. Now, here's why it's important. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus was sent from the Father. When he began his earthly ministry, there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And that voice from heaven, and then the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and rested upon him. So we get an idea of who God is. And again, Jesus saying, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus isn't saying he's the Father, but he is saying he's the express image. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. That's what he was saying there. This is why the cults have so much trouble, because other places Jesus actually says he is God, such as John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be Ego Amini, the same I am that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Exactly the same words. Okay, so understanding that then, the Bible warns in the last days of people preaching another Jesus. Now, Paul, when he went to Mars Hill in the book of Acts, he was waiting around for his friends to come. And while he was there, he went to the Areopagite or Mars Hill. And it was a place that they would come together. It reminds me of a giant Starbucks or something, where everyone came together, sat around the coffee tables, psychedelicized, philosophized what God was like, whatever. And they had all these statues to all these different gods. And Paul said they had one there just in case they didn't want to offend any god they missed. You know, Zeus, Hermes, all that. Well, they had one to the unknown god. And the Bible tells us, Paul says, this is the one I want to tell you about. And he began to share with them from scripture who this real God is. Not the idea of elephants holding the earth up on their back or some other thing. And this is where I think, Sherry, I understand your difficulty in conveying the difference between ideologies of God versus who God really is, biblically speaking. But the Bible is the only book that tells us. Why is that? because the only Bible's the only religious book that's authenticated. You go, well, what do you mean about that? Do you know what's missing in the Quran? Do you know what's missing in the other books, Middle Eastern, in Zen and all these others? Prophecy. Because prophecy quickly identifies whether what is written is true or not. One third of the Bible is prophetic. And two thirds of those prophecies have already come true. There's a remaining one third prophecies that are yet to come in the days when. The Bible says we're rushing towards a one world order, a one world government, a one world currency, and a one world destruction. And the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. In other words, the tribulation would have went longer than 7 years, and certainly man deserves it. But because of what was going on in the world, man would have completely annihilated himself off the planet. That's what it means. Now, when you understand that the Bible says every living thing in the sea dies, oh, well, what poetic speaking that is. No, no, not at all. You take a couple of North Korean nuclear missiles, sink them in the ocean, have them go off, and then start a chain reaction of fish eating radiated other fish, eating other radiated. I don't believe it would be very hard at all to understand how man is capable of destroying everything in the ocean. The Bible says all the trees are burnt up. The Bible says sun is given to a power is given to the sun that it may scorch people that live on the earth. The Bible says in this dawning of the age of Aquarius, or John Lennon's words, and the world will be as one. Do you realize the Bible says in the very first part of this 7-year tribulation period, one quarter of the world's population dies? Yeah, it's in Revelation chapter 6. And so when we realize that these other religions, these other concepts of God have no validity. Well, I think God is just, he's got a long white beard and he's got kind of long hair, kind of looks like, something off a ZZ Top, something like that, with some rosy sunglasses on. Yeah, he doesn't see too much of what we do wrong down here because God's all loving and, whatever is true to you. Oh, be careful, friends. That is not the God of the Bible. And we have to be careful because if we adapt these bad ideas that then become our theology, we will then live by those things and you will not be going where you think you're going. See, the Bible says we're all sinners, desperate need of a Savior. That's what Christ Jesus came to do. Sherry, I hope that helps.
I do have one more quick question in that. It's that I do understand that some of these ideas are demonic in nature. It's a great delusion that we were warned of. But I also understand, it's a funny story that when the sons saw the nakedness of the father, that he just didn't approve of that. And I kind of feel the same way that the Lord put that story. I don't think that it's for me to go and try to find out what tribe up in the next dimension he was from, but rather to see what is in the Bible. And I find that's kind of dangerous, not blind, but just understanding that there are some things I can't put God in a box. And so,
well, what you're talking about there is where the sons of Noah, when they came out of the ark, he drank some wine, got drunk. Now, maybe the fermentation rate changed after the flood. I don't know. I know the atmospheric composition changed because they'll even tell you that if you study the dinosaurs and you see these huge dinosaurs, long necks, little bitty nose holes, long skinny necks, the oxygen nitrogen ratio had to have changed because those big animals could not possibly have got enough oxygen in their lungs to sustain them. So the decay rate has to be different before the flood than after the flood. And as a matter of fact, it took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. In today's world, one end of the boat would have rotted out before the other end got done. So we realized there was something much different about everything before the flood. And man lived to be almost 1,000 years old. So we know that there was a lot of changes that happened. But after the flood, Noah made some wine or juice, fermented. He drank it, got drunk. And one of the sons was making fun of him for being drunk. And when you talk about that didn't please God, you're right, it didn't. And his other two sons came in with a blanket and they covered him over. He was naked, probably in his drunkenness, got hot, took all of his clothes off, laying there. And one of his sons is laughing, Pops is all strung out and drunk. Look, he's naked. Instead of covering his father's shame, he made fun of his father's weakness. God didn't take well to that. So I believe, again, when we look at these things and we look at them in context and the reason why, we have to be very, very careful. Now, that's one of the reasons we become born again, because God's Spirit comes and dwells within us, forgives our sins. The Bible says we call him Father. Wow. Imagine the God of the universe wants to relate to all of us human beings as our dad. You know, you get into Middle Eastern religion, you get on these religions around the world, they all got people out selling flowers in airports, wearing orange, you know, getting sealed in temples, all this religious junk. That's what it is. Because what God wants with us as his children is to come to him, as Paul says, Abba, Father. We cry Daddy. And oh, that makes such a giant difference, because it's not religion. It's not an unknowable God. It's a God that wants to reveal himself to us and have us call him Daddy. We're his children. Our Father, which art in heaven. Isn't that great? Not trying to earn it, selling flowers in an airport. God just says, hey, I'm going to make you my child. And that's the difference between true Christianity and all the religions of the world. Everybody's out earning it. When you really understand God's grace, he gave it to us. Big difference. Sherry, we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back for more right after these messages.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people can. They feel like their health care costs are just out of control. And if you're 65 or older, there's actually some great news about this. You can sign up for MediShare 65 Plus and save big in the new year. MediShare 65 Plus is a healthcare bill sharing community. It's trusted, it's faith-based, and it's saving people like you thousands on medical expenses. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know out-of-pocket expenses add up fast, but this gets things back under control and gives you peace of mind too. With one low monthly price, saves you so much, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor. So find out why so many seniors are absolutely raving about MediShare 65 Plus. It's very different in a wonderful way. It's actually refreshing. They even offer to pray with you each time you call. Call now and find out more. It's 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two to Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon. And we just once again want to encourage you to give us a call. If you got a question, we have with us today Brad Dacus, attorney at law. You can ask him legal questions. It won't break the bank because he does it for free. What an interesting ministry. I got to tell you, Brad, that is very, you know, I mean, almost to just turn the door handle in a lawyer's office is $300 when you walk in the door, you know. So we got somebody here. If you got a legal question you want to ask Brad, he'll do his best to answer that for you. We were talking with Sherry when we went to the break and asking about how do you present the true and living God to people with different backgrounds that view God as something much different. Sherry, I hope those answered your questions. Do you have any more questions?
I had one legal question. I hope that this ties into what's happening as I'm addressing a custody issue. The custody dictates that the other parent does not drink before and during visits, and that has continued, and so I filed a motion for contempt of court. And, sir, if you could, I just think because there are no attorneys available here in Kenai that are on a sliding fee, and their Alaska help, the self-help law is not taking any cases for down here, might somebody from, say, in my position be able to call your office, or is it just on the radio?
Yeah, we do our work without charge as it's related to religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, and the sanctity of human life. This is dealing more with parent versus parent, so it's not our area of expertise. So that said, you really need to have a family law attorney, is what these are called. You can go to our website. You can find attorneys on our website that might be able to do a sliding scale. There's also a legal aid clinic through the Christian Legal Society. I speak very highly of them. They sometimes can give assistance involving matters like this. But I go to our website, pji.org, and there if it's related to what we handle in our mission statement, dealing with religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, the sanctity of life, let us know your request. If it's not under that area, then you'll find where you can look up attorneys in your state based on the area of law. And hopefully we have someone in family law in Kenai. I've been to Kenai before. It's not a big area. It's not a huge town. It's a beautiful place. So I don't know. I don't know if we have someone there with your area of expertise. I know we have an affiliate attorney in Kenai, but I can't remember if she is involved in this area of law. Can't remember. So I'm sorry I can't help you more on that.
I hope that helps.
And prayers. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for all you do. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Sherry, stay online. I want to send you a couple books, a couple of DVDs. Great to show your family, friends. It may help them understand a true and living God. Stay online. Yeah. We know what you need, and we'll get those out to you.
Yeah, also, real quick, something
yes.
else. And that is, I assume that your spouse has problem with alcohol. Is that a problem? Like, it's because he drinks too much, he gets drunk, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the first step is because when you get court orders and things, it can raise the intensity of the situation sometimes. If you approached him about it first and said, look, I don't want to have to file a motion on this. I want you to be able to see the kids. I just need to have your assurance in the future, no more drinking. Have you taken that first step with him and yet?
Yes, even to the point where I had offered to pay for a, it's called a sober estimator, it's called Backtrack. So he refused that. There is also a sober link. And if the court orders something like that, the company themselves also offer a assistance as well. And those kind of things we have discussed. This is just a whole different animal.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's real valuable for children to have both a mom and a dad. So I wish you all the best in this because I understand the concern that's there. And the children also need to be safe around their dad, which may not happen if he's having a problem with too much alcohol. So I my hat goes off to you, heart goes out to you on this, and it's good you're moving forward on it.
Well, thank you both very much for your wise words. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
You too. Stay in line, and we'll get you taken care of, dear, because, again, that's so important that you are able to, you're able to get the help you need. If you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to, I don't know who I'm going to. I think I'm going to Claudia, I believe it is. Line two.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for answering my call. I'm just wondering, if wearing a cross, does that mean that I commit an idolatry?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think it opens up a lot of conversations. Now, I've seen it where it has been. I heard this joke one time. It's really kind of funny, and I'll tell everybody this really goofy joke. But anyway, this guy gets on a plane, and there's a guy sitting there on the plane in the seat to sit alongside of him, and he's sitting there reading his Bible. And he's reading his Bible, and this guy gets on the plane, and he's a hipster, you know. He's got long hair and wearing black, and he's got this big gold chain around his neck with a cross hanging on it. And he sits down next to this minister. They take off. They're flying along. He says, what do you do? Oh, he says, I'm a pastor of a church. What do you do? Oh, he says, I'm in a rock band. And so they're flying along, and over the loudspeaker, it says, we're coming into very turbulent air. Put your seatbelt on, and the plane starts bouncing violently into the point where the pilot starts getting worried as well, and they're warning everybody to hold on to everything. And this hipster dude looks at the minister as he's holding onto his cross, and he says, how do you work this thing? Well, that's unfortunately what a lot of people think, that the cross or Jesus is just something you need that I can turn on and turn off whenever I got a problem. It's not. It's a relationship with a loving God who loves you. And that's what I tell people. So, no, I think crosses can be a very, very good tool to open conversation. But like anything, I know people that have made the Bible an idol. Oh, yeah. Oh, they worship it. You don't ever set anything on the Bible. Always put it in a prominent place. We never read it, but it's like the idol of the home, but no one knows it. So I'm saying anything can become that, and we have to be very careful. And the Pharisees, at Jesus' times, basically had done that. Our father Abraham taught us, or Moses said, really? But what is God saying to you? See, that was the problem. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand that whether it's a cross or whatever it is, the whole purpose of that is to point us to Jesus. And that needs to be the whole focus. Those things are just things. You may see some of these movies, and they use some things. You know, this is the cup that Jesus drank from. It was Indiana Jones, and this is this and that. No, we don't have a mystical faith. We have a very real faith with a very real God, a very personal God that doesn't need this kind of distractions. And at the same time, if things can be used to point people to Christ, to stir up conversations, all the better. I think that's great, especially if someone's wearing a cross. You can say, oh, I see you're wearing a cross. Are you a Christian? It can be actually a great tool to begin a conversation, because oftentimes they're not Christians, as Pastor Mike just pointed out.
So I hope that helps.
Kind of got me confused a little bit, because Exodus 20.4, it says that you should not be making any carved materials or, anything.
Well, no, that's different. They were carving things and then worshiping them.
Right.
In fact, Isaiah said it got so bad that they'd go into the forest, get a piece of wood. They'd cut the wood in two. And with one piece of the wood, they would carve an idol and worship it. And with the other part of the wood, they would cook their dinner on the same wood. That's how bad it got. That's what it's talking about. Graven images are something that are there to remind us of something. However, I do believe for people who don't know God, sometimes things like that will trigger their thoughts. And again, I know a friend of mine years ago, he carved a cross out of firewood. It was about, maybe 3 foot tall. And the bottom of this was still round like the wood. But as the wood went up, he made it into a cross. He said, man, it kept the cults away from knocking on his door all the time. So I really believe it's a symbol. It's like back in the days where Christians were so heavily persecuted, you'd start talking to somebody, you thought, well, they might be a Christian. So you would make kind of a smiley face with your foot in the dirt. You'd make a kind of drag your foot along like a smiley face. And then if they were a Christian on their side, they would do the same thing and complete the shape of the fish. And then you knew you were talking to a brother. Oh, well, fishes are of the devil. It's a graven image. No, 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 not at all. It's a way of identifying. But our real true identity is with God in heaven. But again, I don't think, a cross or something like that is bad. However, if you are worshiping the cross or just the Bible as an example, we worship the book. We never read it, but we worship it. Anything can become an idol. Any last thoughts, Brad?
Yeah. Once again, it's just ask the question, is this thing pointing me to Christ or is it pointing me to worship it? And I think that's sort of the test. We should never have our focus on an item, even if it looks religious or Christian, but it needs to be something that points us to Christ. And the symbol of the cross is very powerful reminder to us as believers. So I would look at it from that perspective. It's a big difference between having something pointing to Christ and having something demanding worship, which is what they're really talking about there in Exodus.
Hope that helps, dear.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's go to Dex in Alvaro, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Alvaro. Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How may we help?
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi.
Hey, my question is, I got just a couple of questions. I appreciate y'all giving me a call back. I've been listening to Every Man and Ask for a long time. I mean, back since Pastor Chuck was on it. So, rest in peace, Pastor Chuck. My question is, do y'all feel that we are in the time, and I understand, you know, each day that comes, you know, Christ is on his way back. I get that part. But do y'all feel that we're in the last part in the book of Revelation where it says, you know, that last trumpet that's going to be sounding? That's one question. My next question is, how is it that, and I'm not for and I'm not against Trump, but how is it that Trump got into office if he was indicted? Or, I'm sorry, if he was convicted of however many numerous amounts of felonies.
And I am so glad, first of all, Dex, you called today, because we have a real attorney here that will tell you how illegal that prosecution that brought those charges against Trump and those convictions against Trump really was. Brad, tell us about it, because, and by the way, being in the last days, we're not in the tribulation yet. We're not in that 7-year period, but I believe we're in the time that Jesus said we're kind of in the age of sorrow. And globally, we look at our world. It is in really rough shape. If you take God completely out of the picture, you go to an atheist clock. Look at the atheist doomsday clock. It's like 30 seconds before midnight, total annihilation. So even without God in the picture, people of the world, those people that understand that there's not a single weapon man has ever made that he's not used, we're running out of time. And I believe this is why Jesus said, you hypocrites, you can see the clouds in the sky coming. You know a storm is coming. You know a storm is near. How is it that you cannot discern the coming of the Son of Man? When I look and see the global issues, perplexity among nations, as Jesus said it would be, Matthew chapter 24, with problems with no way out, I see the necessity for Jesus to come and take his church home and eventually set up his thousand-year reign. Now, on this kangaroo court that was in New York, tell us, Brad, what was so wrong with everything that they did, even, again, being that all these charges were statute of limitations had ran out on.
Yeah, there's so many problems with these cases. And I have to say that it's really, unfortunately, it has really brought down the credibility of our courts, of our prosecution process, of the judicial system, which has really been a serious setback. People can no longer trust the integrity of a district attorney like we have in the past. This has been a grotesque lawfare. So in the New York case, of course, as was mentioned, you know, we have a statute of limitations. They decided to twist it to try to make it a felony, which they can't. But that's what they tried to do. The judge has a lot of authority, a lot of power, and he's, you know, wink, wink, his daughter is on the other side, is on the same side as him politically, and is an overtly hostile to Trump, and he's been very hostile to Trump. So then there's the immunity. The Supreme Court was very clear on immunity for anything that was either done at the office of the president or used as evidence from the office of president. That's clear on its face. There's three major points that the prosecution used that came directly from an action of the president in its official capacity. To make a long story short, I have no doubt that that this will be completely overturned by the Supreme Court, there's going to be mud on the face of this federal judge. But he decided to choose an outcome to technically have the president, quote, convicted of a felony at the expense of the integrity of the black robe he was wearing. It's shameful. It's disgraceful. And unfortunately, it's a sign of the ethical or unethical nature of our times. Our courts are only as valid as the integrity and the character of people occupying those positions as judges. And I'm seeing an alarming rate, a real degradation of that among judges and district attorneys that I've never seen before. And there's other examples as well, separate from Trump. But bottom line is that was the end game. But that did not invalidate his election by we the people of the United States. And if it did, that would be a terrible tragedy that one judge could completely silence the voice of the people for what they felt. And I think the American people saw through it very clearly, to the shock of I'm sure, the strategists who thought, we're getting prosecuted in a few cases, we get this thing going, it's going to spook the American people and they'll move on. It didn't happen, and I think God miraculously brought a lot of truth to the surface for his purpose for such a time as this. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and also we have, obviously, the judge was coaching the jury, and highly illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I was also going to say, never before have I seen a judge say, oh, by the way, you know, this is what he's being charged with. Now, you don't have to all agree on what exactly it was that he did or meant to do. Just as long as you all think that, you know, one of these things, give like a smorgasbord to validate your finding of him being guilty. I've never seen that before, because the jury has to be in agreement as to what was done and the intentions of the actor. Otherwise, there's no conviction. So this was unbelievable what this judge did. Someone's going to make a movie out of this.
Yeah,
they've got to, because I frankly thought I would never experience to see something like this in my lifetime. It will be told, and hopefully it's something that we will learn from in the future, not to allow it to happen again, to the uses of our courts for clearly political reasons and in a way that undermines the integrity and the trustworthiness of our courts and those filling those black robes.
Yeah, I believe that, again, the judge said something along the lines of, or if you believe he ever committed a crime on anything else, he's guilty. Judge, you can't do that. You can't coach, and you can't put a general statement in. Well, you know, did he you know, ever get a traffic ticket? Oh, he's guilty. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's how they did it. Dex, hope that helps.
It does. My question is, do y'all believe that the Revelation 11:15 verse has anything to do with where we're at, or Pastor, where you're saying that even compared to that verse, we haven't touched the tribulation yet, given the fact that it's the final trumpet?
No, I do not believe we are here. Here's why. Let me explain why. The church is mentioned almost in the New Testament, almost on every page. The church, or brethren, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's the church. Beloved, love one another. That's the church. When we get to Revelation, you don't find the church on earth after chapter 3. They're found in heaven. Now, after that, you'll find saints, you'll find elect, but never the church. We haven't had the guy go out on a white horse, Revelation chapter 6 yet, where he goes out conquering and to conquer. He has a bow with no arrows. He goes out initially to unite the world as a one world order. That guy on the white horse is the Antichrist. And those that go along with him, great. Those that don't, the fiery red horse, the wars break out to unite the world to be as one. Oh, yes, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Well, one quarter of the world's population dies there in Revelation chapter 6. Now, remember, the book of Revelation is written in order. And so anybody that starts popping verses out, well, you know, there was a star in the sky, and I think that's, you know, the fifth trumpet. No, not at all. The reason for the book of Revelation was to give saints during the tribulation encouragement in their faith to be beheaded for their faith because of the accuracy of what the Bible says is coming next. That's why you have the seven seals. You have the seven trumpets. You have the seven bowls, all in order. After that. That's so they know what's coming next. And so again, anybody that tries to say, this is in chapter 16 or this is, no. Now, we might find some similarities, but it hasn't started yet. The church is still here. That's why you have in chapter 7, the 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, the Bible says, are servants to God. Why? Because the church isn't here. And we find that their effective ministry literally is that which causes people to be beheaded for their faith. Dex, I hope that helps.
I appreciate it. Where did y'all see? Where can we see the Trump trial information? Because I don't think they made that public to the. I don't think they made that available to the public. Because like all
what's
of
that?
Y'all saying about the Trump trials, like, you know, as far as convicting them and all that kind of stuff, y'all were giving.
Well,
them,
like, I'm sure they don't want it. I'm sure they don't want that up. You know, Brad, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. There's the judge has discretion whether to allow cameras to come in, whether for it to be videotaped or not. And that's normal. Sometimes cameras can be a distraction. It can create complications, especially for privacy issues, protecting the jury, for example, on high profile cases. So you may not find it in that regard in terms of the written record. That is sometimes obtainable, but yeah, you're not going to be able to, I don't think you'll be able to find it, a videotape of it.
The Daily Wire had some good coverage back then. And I think if you look it up, they actually had a reporter in the room. And so you can check that out.
Yeah.
Next, hope that helps. Stay online, send you out some books and DVDs. I want to get to Josh. Josh, hi, in La Grande, Oregon. We've only got a minute.
Hi, Brad. Hi, Mike. So my question is for Brad. So I think my grandchildren need a co-counsel. DHS has custody over them at this current time. There was an emergency hearing last night for them. So their mother had child abuse charges on her, and DHS let them go visit her for an overnight visitation this last week. And it turned into it was really bad. There was knives and threats of suicide and stuff.
Brad, we've only got 10 seconds. Give him some directive.
Yeah. Call my number and we'll talk after the show. It's 916-719-9510, 916-719-9510, and I'll look for your call.
And if you don't have a pencil and paper, stay online, and our friendly operators there will help you on that. Josh, for Claudia and all the rest, please call us on Monday. Brad, thank you so very much for being there. Hope to see you all in Kona at the Kona Coast Fellowship, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, there on the beautiful beach. Talk to you then. Have a blessed weekend. Ministry,
or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.